to be taken seriously. President Aristide charged the U.S. for moving too slowly on Haiti, and an opposition politician in Dominica says the government isn't doing enough locally for the banana industry. I'm Mike Jarvis, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. Cuban President Fidel Castro was today claiming victory from his one-party elections. But while many of his critics have pointed to the absence of opposition candidates, as Lionel Martin reports, Mr. Castro had huge local support for avoiding a multi-party election.
Cuban President Fidel Castro called Wednesday's elections for the 589 members of the island's National Assembly of People's Power a vote of confidence or no confidence in the revolution. From that point of view, the elections have proven to be a victory for Fidel Castro's Marxist-Leninist socialist regime. Some cast doubt on the validity of the elections by pointing out that there was a single slate of 589 candidates for the 589 seats in the National Assembly. Fidel Castro's supporters don't deny this, but say that each candidate needed 51% of the vote in order to win, and this gave voters a chance to express their opposition. As a young man, Fidel Castro ran for Cuba's parliament on the Orthodox Party ticket. But those elections were cut short in 1952 by the military coup of General Fulgencio Batista. It was then that Castro turned to revolutionary methods and finally overthrew the dictatorial Batista regime. Actually, the Cuban leader has never been an admirer of the multi-party political system. Even as a young man before the revolution, he believed the system was corrupt. He was a follower of Eduardo Chibas, whose main prop was a broom that symbolized the sweeping away of corruption. Most Cubans who voted for the government slate on Wednesday probably agree with Fidel Castro's assessment. One of them, a retired university professor, told me on election day,
"The candidates made promises that they never fulfilled. That's why so few Cubans have respect for the old system of politics."
Others who voted for the revolutionary slate believe that the old multi-party system did not solve Cuba's problems. A Havana physician.
Parties came and went, but the nation's most pressing problems, such as health care, education opportunities, and jobs, did not diminish, but actually increased. This is why many Cubans do not have much respect for the old type of political system.
Lionel Martin. And hints by President Castro on his political future and his views on President Clinton have almost overshadowed yesterday's elections. President Castro told journalists that he would consider stepping down in 5 years and that President Clinton looked like a man he could do business with. But just how seriously should he be taken, especially on the possibility of stepping down in 5 years? I spoke with journalist Lionel Martin in Havana and Dr. Philip Brenner, head of the Department of International Relations and Foreign Policy at American University in Washington.
I would take it with a grain of salt because he is hedging his bet by saying, as he did yesterday, that he feels that he would continue if he sees that is his duty. And his duty, as he sees it, is making sure the revolution can survive.
Well, Dr. Brenner, Lionel takes it with a grain of salt. Do you think that there are perhaps other forces at play here?
I would say, first of all, that he certainly did hedge his bets, and he put an extraordinary caveat in there that if the embargo was still in place, he would stay in power. But he may not be able to. By saying this for the very first time, that he would be willing to step down, he will set in process activities and expectations that may make it almost impossible for him to stay in power and retain any legitimacy. Let me put this in perspective. The only other time Fidel Castro has ever hinted at leaving office was in 1970, after a disastrous 10-ton sugar harvest, which didn't reach 10 tons. The goal was 10 tons.
Philip, I just want to remind you that in the first year of the revolution, when he came into Havana, he made a number of statements. He said, "I would love to go back to Santiago de Cuba, retire. I don't really desire to hold power."
But the reality is that he didn't step down, and most analysts think that he was disingenuous about that, and he was probably disingenuous in 1970 when he essentially asked the crowd in a Caesar-like way whether he should step down, and the crowd said, don't step down.
But let's assume for the moment that in 5 years' time or whenever he does step down, what are we looking at? Could he quite possibly be replaced by another hardliner?
It is unpredictable what he'd be replaced with, what will happen. You don't find in Cuba outright opposition, but the people are feeling a kind of pressure that this relieves. And the pressure they're feeling in Cuba is a choice between Fidel Castro and total revolution. There seemed to be no middle ground. By his suggesting that he would consider stepping down, it creates openings. It creates a psychological possibility that now allows a political process to go at work. Where that process will take Cuba is very unclear. Yes, go ahead, Lon.
You know very well that there are a group of younger leaders, and would you think that this might open up the way for their aspirations for the future? I mean, is he preparing them?